I can imagine there's a lot of guys that really struggle with some of those things.
Yes, there are. And there's such a huge stigma around asking for help. So I recently gave a TEDx talk. It's not out yet, but it's called Chemistry for Your Sex-Starved Marriage. Humans are very diverse. The way that we respond to subtle practices varies. If you're struggling with a sexual performance issue, like you're worried about getting hard, staying hard, finishing too soon, or not being able to finish at all,
welcome to episode 50 of Super States, Practices of Transformation with me, your host, Joshua Peters. Super States explores the crossroad of trance states and all the ways you can access them with personal or professional growth. In each episode, we talk to world-class experts, industry leaders, and revolutionary thinkers who share the latest information, tools, and their own personal stories to inspire you on your journey. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcast host, or you can subscribe on YouTube so you can stay up to date with new episodes. And if you enjoy this show, give me a 5-star review or share the episode with someone who would enjoy it. These are the best ways to help this show grow. In today's episode, I have a fascinating conversation with Jessica Gold. Jessica is a passionate relationship coach for powerful men in tech. And she uses neo-tantra, somatic practices, and her scientific background to help her clients. She focuses on helping men who have been successful in their careers but are now struggling with intimacy, with sexual confidence, or even just meeting a high-quality partner. Jessica provides a safe space for them to express their true desires without shame and guides them to embrace their authentic power. Sound interesting? Get ready to explore neo-tantra and conscious sexuality for deeper intimacy with Jessica Gold. Welcome to Super States. I am here with Jessica Gold. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joshua. I'm so happy to be here.
Happy to have you as well. Jessica, share with us what you do and how that can make an impact on people's lives.
Absolutely. So I am a passionate relationship coach for powerful men in tech. And men come to work with me usually when they have been very successful technically in their careers, but the same things that worked in business just aren't working with their partner at home. Maybe they've been stuck in a sexless marriage for 10 or 20 years. Maybe they're single and dating and they just can't seem to meet a high-quality woman who truly gets them on every level. Or maybe they're secretly struggling with a sexual confidence issue, like being able to last as long as they want. And all of the like top-down advice that is everywhere these days just hasn't been working for them and they know they want something different. And I also work with couples who are tantrically curious or who just want to have a deeper, better connection instead of the intimacy desert that many experience.
Wow. So you there's a lot to unpack in what you just described there. That's a big help. I'm trying to think of the right word for this, but I can imagine there's a lot of guys that really struggle with some of those things.
Yes, there are. And there's such a huge stigma around asking for help. So the thing is, I used to really struggle in intimacy and relationships too. And the reason I work with men in tech is because I am a PhD scientist by training. So I'm Dr. Jessica Gold. I went to MIT and I have a PhD in organic chemistry. And so a lot of men, when they hear about me, they think, oh, I can trust her. You know, she understands my scientific mind. She understands, you know, the more rational side of life. Because this other world of somatics or neo-tantra and trance states even can feel really scary if you're someone who is a scientist and you're not quite sure how to step across the divide there safely. So I like to reach out a hand and say, I did it. I get you. Come with me.
Yeah. Well, so that's a fascinating way to start this. Share with us your journey. How did you go from the doctorate at MIT to being a men's relationship and neo-tantric coach?
Thanks. Yes, that is the question that everyone asks me. Yes. And I do want to clarify, because I try to be precise. I did my undergrad at MIT and then I got my PhD at UC Berkeley. So yeah, there's that small correction there. And right. So I recently gave a TEDx talk. It's not out yet, but it's called Chemistry for Your Sex-Starved Marriage. And in it, I do speak a little bit to my journey. But here in a nutshell, so what happened was that I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area doing my PhD, and I was starting to really push the boundaries, as everyone does here. I was in all sorts of intentional communities around psychedelics, around sexuality, around spirituality, and I happened at the time to be married to a therapist. And so I also started going to Burning Man. And so I started really pushing the boundaries of who I knew myself to be and letting myself open up and think, wow, what if I could be happy in my life instead of just working really hard all the time, being in scarcity mentality and trying to force things or following unconscious narratives around relating. And after a particularly transformative year at Burning Man, where really what I felt mattered was who I was in the present moment with everyone. You know, not my pedigrees, not how smart I was or what I could do or my accomplishments, but really how I could show up and relate. And it was so fulfilling and deep and rewarding. And when I went back to work after that, I looked around and I was like, this cannot be the rest of my life. So I was standing in lab holding my multi-channel pipetter, pipetting a radioactive solution over and over again in triplicate in 96 well plates, as you do. I was doing some biochemistry and neuroscience at the time, in addition to organic chemistry. But I was like, I can't do this. I put it down, published my research, my postdoctoral research, and walked out. And I went to go say yes to what scared me. So I traveled the world for a year saying yes to things that normally I would have been a hell no to. And in that journey, I ended up doing a neo-tantra workshop on a tropical island. And I had an experience that checkmated my mind. I didn't even know what it was or how to describe it. And after that experience, I ended up getting a divorce and moving back to the tropical island. And I lived there for 5 years studying neo-tantra and personal development work. And then since then, I've been certified as a coach by the ICF, by Layla Martin's Vita Coaching, and many other teachers, and started my business. So that's the nutshell.
Wow. What would you say is the biggest lesson that you learned from all of that?
I think the biggest lesson that I learned was that life really will pass you by in a flurry of to-do lists if you don't let yourself listen to the voice of your heart that's knocking on the door of your consciousness. And I learned to not be afraid to listen and to let everything I knew about myself crumble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's powerful. I could feel you pulling that right out of somewhere in that very moment. I like that.
Thank you.
So what's it like to work with Jessica Gold if you're a man who's struggling with some of these issues?
Well, so my clients would say that when they've worked with me, it's the first time they ever felt safe enough to express their true desires, their deepest, darkest secrets, especially with a woman, and not feel shamed. It's the first time they ever let themselves be celebrated, to feel good about themselves, to stop motivating themselves out of self-criticism. and to stop trying to pretend to be someone they're not while shoving away what they're really feeling. Yeah, so it's like a lot of them say, I didn't even understand that this was what power felt like. I didn't understand that this was true courage, like the courage to have the hard conversations, the courage to have good boundaries, the courage to say, I matter too. And it's not just about bending over backward to please the other person. Those are some of the ways they reflect to me what it's like.
Yeah. So what would you say has changed about how you work with people now from when you started?
I mean, when I started my work, I really was passionate about holding space for men to heal and to come into their deep, authentic power. And I still am the same way. I was passionate about reaching a hand across this divide, this stupid divide that keeps getting propagated by the media, by our culture, that, you know, about a war between the sexes. All I saw in the media was the shaming of men as sort of like, oh, you're hapless. You don't know what you're doing. You're a bumbling. You don't know how to be a dad. You don't know how to be a lover. And there was that image. And then there was the image of like the pickup artists, the manipulative assholes. And neither of those are what women want. We want to have amazing men to relate to.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, when I came into my power as a woman and I stopped shaming myself for my desire and my sexuality, I really felt a lot of empathy for what men must go through. And I was determined to reach out a hand from the very beginning. And I would say that hasn't changed. That's still my passion.
I think that that feeling of shame, especially around sex and how men show up, that's a tough one. That's a powerful feeling that can be around for a long time.
Yeah.
Is it, do you find that that space holding is what makes the difference for the people you work with?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to understand until you've felt it yourself. You know, I've been in therapy and in coaching myself for a decade or more. And so I get it now, just having someone who has my back, who celebrates me, who helps me stop going down the same negative rabbit holes, who helps me tell a different story about who I am and stop beating myself up all the time. It's invaluable. And so really, the space holding goes a long, long way. Just being able to be in the presence of someone who really gets you, cares, and isn't there to shame you.
Yeah. So the other piece that you shared about was the neo-tantra training that you've done. How does that tie in with the men's relationship coaching?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the particular school that I went to, which doesn't exist anymore, but what I really loved about it was how it asked men to really connect with their bodies and do a very profound practice of not equating sex with ejaculation. Now, I'm not an extremist here, and I say always listen to your body, you know, listen to the science too. But there was something really profound for men when they started learning to be lovers, that when they were not focused on this goal of having orgasm coupled with ejaculation, but really being in their body, learning to listen to their body and their energy and learning to move it through them and learning to become multi-orgasmic, witnessing that and like learning the training that they went through, it was so profound. It was liberating both for the men and for me as a woman. I felt like I didn't have to perform or to please them. Intimacy really became this playground where we could be nerds about it and, you know, figure out, well, what's working for you, what's working for me. And so for me, it was so transformative. And I was like, wow, there's this secret that we're not getting taught. I mean, back then, you know, 10 years ago, it was much less common than it is now to come across this idea that men could be multi-orgasmic. But they really can be. And I was like, wow, you guys have been beaten out of this knowledge. You've been, you know, ejected from your bodies because the body is seen as feminine or weak or less than and only allowed to be in your head. And it's not doing anyone any good. So even though I underwent all of the practices for female bodies at the school, I also learned all of the practices for male bodies. And then I interviewed all of the men in the community that I could about their experiences developing, you know, full body orgasm, because I was so fascinated and I wanted to understand, did they like it? And 100% of the men I interviewed said they'd never go back to the way it was before. So then when I began my training as a sex, love, and relationship coach, there was a men's sexuality specialization. And so I did that specialization along with the couples work and more neo-tantra studies as well. And so that's how they're related. And I just had such a passion for this because I was like, A, no one's working with men this way. And the men need to know this about themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think? So I, you know, you hear about tantra and you hear both positive things, or at least I do, and negative things too. And what would you say is most misunderstood about tantra?
That's a great question. So as a scientist, when I came to the tantra world, I was like, ew, gross. You know, like I said, it was one of those things that I was a hell no to. And I was very, very suspicious of it. It seemed like a lot of men who claimed to be enlightened, who were like teaching sexuality and wanting women to be very open sexually. And it just, the whole thing seemed suspicious. And so I started asking for references. I was like, where do your teachings come from? Show me the books. Who are your teachers? Show me your teachers. Like, they didn't like those questions at all. So eventually what I learned is the most misunderstood thing about tantra is that what we call tantra is actually better called American neo-tantra. The whole thing around like orgasms, pleasure, sexuality, connection, breath work, which is super great. It's been a wonderful platform to help us unshame sexuality in the West. But that whole thing actually came to be in the 1900s. And it was through these Westerners actually who took just snippets of classical tantra and transform them through their own lens, like from the Theosophical Society, the occultists, even Aleister Crowley, Pierre Bernard, who was called the Omnipotent who's a, you know, one of those wild stories in the early 1900s in America. And then the movement, the free love movement of the 60s, all of these things had a lot of influence on what we call tantra. And really, it's an American invention of the last 150 years or so, the part that's all focused on orgasms and sex and pleasure. And actual tantra, so I asked enough questions and I finally found teachers of classical tantra, which is a very sophisticated spiritual tradition from India that flourished around the year 1000. And I've actually read the books. They're called Tantras, the old books on this non-dual philosophy. And it was really, the tantrics were obsessed with awareness and the collapsing of the knower, the known object, and the process of knowing and resting in conscious awareness. It's very complex. And then, of course, today it's mostly been preserved through Tibetan Buddhism, much of which is tantric. So if you think of those old lineage-based practices, those are actual tantra. And the sexual practices are just a very minor, tiny piece of what classical tantra is about, which was fundamentally a liberatory awareness practice. But it did use the body and energy and emotions as fuel for your awakening. But the sex that's described in those old tantras that were written around 1000 of the Common Era is not sexy at all. It's not about orgasms or pleasure or connection. None of these things. It's highly ritualistic. You spend 2 hours reciting a mantra and then you do a bunch of things that don't turn you on whatsoever. So, I mean, I could go on. I have taught, you know, hours of classes on these two topics, comparing and contrasting and the history, but that's it in the short form. Yeah.
It seems like everything is constantly evolving and we gain little bits of knowledge from multiple sources and then kind of bring them together. Then we teach that. I like how, first of all, I like how you did the research and like you wanted to find out what, where's this coming from and is this even real? So you really put yourself into doing that, and that's says a lot right there.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm a PhD. I'm a researcher. Some of my teachers probably think I'm a pain in the ass because I'm always like, wait a minute, give me a reference.
If somebody is interested in starting to learn some of these practices, what would be the simplest way for them to start?
Well, the simplest way would probably be to buy one of my programs. I have a Neo Tantra Foundations course that you can get from my website, and it gives you the theory, the history, and the very simple practices to begin to work with your body. Yeah, I also offer occasionally one-off session specials where I can give you a taste of what it feels like.
Are there any kind of techniques that you'd be open to, simple techniques that you could share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of my favorite practices is called, I call it the central channel. And it comes both from my studies with my classical tantric teachers and from Neo Tantra. It incorporates all of the hallmarks of tantra, visualization, breathing, and your body. And, you know, at its core, classical tantra was really about the radical acceptance of your moment-to-moment experience of life. So it's about just noticing what is true for you now, without judging it, trying to change it, shaming yourself, just coming into shining the light of awareness on your whole being. And so this practice does that right away. Because what I'll ask you to do is to take a finger of your left hand and place it on your perineum. So that's the little piece of skin just in front of your anus and behind your genitals. So already, most of us never think about that part of our bodies, or much less want to actually touch it in the presence of someone else. So already we're bringing in the unshaming and the awareness. So you place your left finger there, and then your right finger on the top of your head, where your soft spot was when you were a baby. I can't always find that, so just somewhere that feels right. And then close your eyes. And I want you to inhale through your nose down to your left finger. So inhaling down. And exhale out your mouth. Exhale straight up to your right finger. And keep going. Inhale the breath down. You're feeling your diaphragm pull down, your belly relax and expand, and then exhale out the mouth. Exhale the breath straight up just outside the crown of your head toward your right finger. And keep going. And as you're breathing, you can press in from the top and the bottom and imagine a plumb line through the center of your being. It's probably just in front of your spine. This is your central channel, the energy superhighway, which interestingly is similar in placement to where the vagus nerve could be. A lot of these practices are as if the tantrics knew that we had a nervous system before molecular science knew that we had one. So you can remove your hands when they get tired. And then keep breathing, so inhaling down and saying hello with your breath to your sexual center, your pelvic floor, and then exhaling up And then relaxing, surrendering as the breath goes out. And inhale straight down. Again, what's it like to smile, say hello to this part of your body, kind of squeeze your pelvic floor, get in touch with it, and then exhale up. So keep breathing like that. And as you're inhaling and exhaling, really follow the breath with your awareness. You can even imagine the breath as a golden ball of light going down and then going up and out. Three more breaths here. And then letting that go. With your eyes closed, just taking a moment of awareness. Noticing how you're feeling now. And then opening your eyes. You look peaceful.
I feel really energized right now.
Yay!
I could feel when I was pausing there and you had me just kind of checking in, I could just feel a pulsing or like an energetic. So I don't know how to describe it. I could feel the energy of the breath almost like it was still moving.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that. Thank you. I got a new meditation now.
Yeah. My favorite. So why is this practice deeply empowering and practical on a day-to-day level? It's because A, you start to get in touch with your whole body through the breath and unshame yourself. So you bring the light of awareness. B, it shows you that you can move energy through your body using the breath. Mm-hmm. So that means that instead of being in a fight with your spouse and feeling the like, I'm angry and that sharp, hot anger come up, you can be like, wait a minute, I can breathe that feeling just as energy down and out through me. And then it no longer controls how I react to a situation. So it teaches us to relate, to really notice the energy, the sensations in our body, and to work with them skillfully instead of letting them control us. Hmm. Yeah.
I like that. First of all, thank you for sharing that. That was a really powerful experience. And I'm going to keep practicing that because I really enjoyed that simple and powerful process.
Absolutely. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. It goes much deeper and it gets super fun.
Yeah. If somebody's really interested in these ideas, is there anything they have to be aware of? Like is there any kind of risk to stepping into this energetic experience?
Yeah, it's a great question. So one thing to understand is that humans are very diverse. And the way that we respond to subtle practices varies. So you may feel nothing. Like for me, I was so tense and wound up and numbing myself with drinking and drugs when I was younger. So I didn't feel anything when I did this sort of stuff. Or you may be highly energetically sensitive. And so the key is, don't ever force anything. There's no need to force. And you want to always ground yourself. So like this practice, you go down and up, right? There's a grounding and there's an up. Mm-hmm. When people get in trouble is when they start just pushing tons of energy up and out, and then you get really disembodied. You can have just unexpected experiences happen. And it can be frightening for some people if you're really sensitive or if you have that constitution that just goes out and up really easily. Mm-hmm. So always ground yourself, feel your feet on the earth, feel your butt on the chair, and always do the down part. Always know that if the energy goes up and you're like, you can always inhale and bring it back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about something that you were sharing with me earlier today, because you have an option for people who are interested in coaching, but maybe they feel so much shame that they don't even want to talk to a a living person. So share with us this experiment that you're working with.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, thank you. So, you know, I have a tech background, and my partner actually has a PhD in AI from MIT. And so when AI started coming out, you know, getting really big about a year ago, we noticed that there was an influencer who had made an AI clone of herself. And we went to try it, and it was just basically a sex bot. It was like, you know, she was trying to get you to like have sex with her immediately. And I thought, well, that's great. Like, I understand why that exists. And what if we had an actual coach and an actual, you know, quality coaching experience from an AI? And so I said to my partner, I was like, babe, can you clone me? Every man's dream, right? Clone your girlfriend. So he actually did. And you know, if you ask ChatGPT some questions about your sex life, it's not terrible. Like, it gives pretty good information, but it's a lot of it is top down, and it's lacking the somatic angle, the energetic angle, the tantric angle, the non-dual philosophy angle. And it can be really overwhelming. It can just give you a huge list of things you've never heard of and just be like, go do it. And you're like, yeah. If I knew how to do that, I'd already be doing it, right? So what we did was we uploaded all of my written content, all of my video courses, everything, all my podcasts to the AI. And then we trained her to empathize, to validate, to ask really great coaching questions. Sometimes even just being asked a really great question is all you need to unlock something. And then to give comprehensible action plans based on actual practices that I teach. And the result is Jessica Gold AI. So we've launched her, and there's a web version that's totally free. And there's also an app. And on the app, you can talk to her. You don't have to type your question. You can actually, you can have a real-time conversation with me. You can ask me questions, and I will answer in my voice.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, what are some of the things that you could use this AI for?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, like, if you're struggling with a sexual performance issue, like you're worried about getting hard, staying hard, finishing too soon, or not being able to finish at all, and you're just like, you feel that intense inner shame. I mean, I went through a lot of shame in my life, so I get it. And you're like, I can't talk to anyone about this. Also, I don't want to ask the internet because who knows what kind of weird answers it's going to give me. Yeah. So you want to ask someone who's an actual wisdom holder, who's a professional coach and who has studied these topics. So you could ask that. You could ask, like, my wife doesn't want to have sex with me anymore. What do I do? You could ask, how do I incorporate neo-tantra into my sex life? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, women on dating apps are always ghosting me. How do I meet a high-quality woman who's going to text me back? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are some of the questions.
So basically anything that they might ask you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hence the cloning. It seems so obvious.
Yeah.
So outside of the AI, mm-hmm. what is it that you envision about the future of these types of altered states and growth? Like, what's making you excited about the future right now?
I mean, I still dream of a world where we really feel that we can collaborate with each other when it comes to intimacy and relating, where we don't feel like we have to put ourselves in a box that all women only want a man with a six pack and a fat paycheck, or all women only want this. You know, I really dream of a world where we're able to have the hard conversations. And so I'm excited for AI to bring us more easier access to education around all of these topics. But what I'm really excited about is, I mean, it's something that really drives me as a scientist and a spiritual practitioner. I was so cut off from my body or from anything that wasn't science, that wasn't objective reality. I didn't understand how healing and liberating subjective experience can be until I started practicing, you know, somatic practices, neo-tantra, conscious sexuality, all of that meditation, years and years of meditation retreats that I've done. But when I went to the spiritual realm and these people interacted with people who had never studied science, who were suspicious of science, I found that that world mostly takes subjective experience and try and anecdotal experience and tries to generalize it as the cure for everyone and doesn't understand evidence-based science or medicine. And what I'm really hopeful for with my work is to bridge that gap. And I mean, in my life, I've been so deeply empowered by using both my head and my heart and my desire, you know, just combining that. I really felt like I was dead before, that I wasn't really living when I was just trying to figure everything out with the mind. Mm-hmm. Before I had the like awakening experience, the singularity that catapulted me into connection with my body. And so what I'm on a mission to do is to help more scientists and engineers and tech workers feel safe to access these trance states. And for me, you know what did it? It was something so simple but terrifying. Honestly, it was I did an eye-gazing ritual for an hour where I on purpose kept telling myself to relax and open and connect with the divine feminine. You know, whether you call it the divine feminine, the ocean of consciousness, whatever it is, to just relax my mental construct of who I thought I was, just a little bit, to relax that and be super present for an hour. And I was eye gazing. I was switching partners every 2 or 3 minutes around a big circle in an eye gazing ritual. And it was that that snapped me out of like the mind only realm and changed me forever. So I think I answered your question.
Yeah, no, that eye gazing is powerful and can take you to other realms. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all I'll say about that.
And I was such an eye roll to it and terrified. Yeah. I was terrified that eye gazing like that with a man would give him the wrong idea and that I would be harassed or followed or worse.
Yeah.
But the last thing I want to leave you with too is that then what happened for me after I stopped trying to control everything and stopped feeling so self-conscious was then I was able to practice sex in a way where the whole sexual experience becomes an altered state as well. Right? Like for so much of history, it's really been a mindless thing. You know, women were property. You just have sex in order to make babies and that's it. And it was really hidden from us, this knowledge that sex can be so healing and liberating and that it can be this playground where the whole experience becomes like this vibrating, altered state. And you can use it to, you know, pray, to have deeper conversations, to connect, to just feel really great in your body. If you're not focused on using it for the goal, like, oh, I have to perform, I have to get to orgasm, or I'm only using this to create more children. Of course, when you want to do that, that's great. And the vast majority of sex acts are not performed for procreation.
Right.
So it's a free and readily available access to an altered state that we just don't get taught how to use correctly. And I couldn't believe it when I experienced it. I was like, how could this have been shamed and taken from us? Of course, you know, reasons because of the church and the subjugation of women. And so I've been on a mission to bring it back to us because when you have a partner, you have access to that every single day of your life for free. And, you know, you can use it consciously to feel amazing in your body. And what that does is then like, how do you show up in the world with other people? You're more able to spread love, to connect, to care, you know, to really be of service in the world instead of feeling, you know, angry, upset, disconnected, and lonely.
Yeah. Love that. Jessica, if people want to learn more about you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Great question. So you can actually go use the free version of my AI if you would like. It's at app.jessicagold.ai. You can find me on Instagram at bliss.science. Or you can find me on LinkedIn, Jessica Gold, PhD. My website is bliss-science.com.
Great. I will make sure all of these websites are linked in the show notes.
Thank you so much, Joshua.
Now, Jessica, what's the one insight that you want everyone listening to leave with today?
I always struggle to give the pithy one insight. I think that, you know, when you're looking for power, power doesn't come from power over. Power comes from being totally present and skillful in the use of your body in your moment-to-moment experience of life.
I love that. Thank you so much, Jessica. It's been really fascinating having you on the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a beautiful day.